light of mine. What I'm going to share, I hope, helps you stay connected with your inner light, and you get to let it shine, because it's always there. You're in charge. So the topic today is soul food, the bread of life, and I want to thank you for the chance to be here today, the invitation that came through Joan, who I know so well, and we're kind of like sisters in a way. We both have a lot of freckles. That's the first thing I noticed about Joan when I met her so many years ago and kind of fell in love with her on the spot. We've done a lot of work when she was a public health nurse and I was a community developer, and it's been great to work with you for this service. Thank you, Joan. I understand that your November theme is hunger and all of its many manifestations and impacts. My focus today is on spiritual hunger. That is the depth of the longings that people yearn to fulfill so they can find inner peace. Wouldn't we all love to find inner peace, especially in today's world? I define soul as representing the core of our life existence. It's the essence of who we are, not what we do, but who we are. And I sort of think it's in here somewhere. It's the way I feel it. It just kind of sits there, always. So soul food is how we nourish our souls. And some foods do a better job than others. Let's assume then that fulfilling our yearnings makes our souls, us, feel content, calm, and full. Just as nourishing our bodies with food strengthens our bodies. Just as eating lean protein, fruits, and vegetables, we all know about that, it nourishes our body better than Mars bars. I happen to love Mars bars. And sometimes we all turn to kind of that junk food, you know, thinking it'll bring us that wonderful feeling of euphoria or whatever. For me, it just feels like comfort. But it's not lasting, is it? It's kind of in the moment. So what we want to discover is ways that we can nourish ourselves from within in a more lasting way, in a sustainable way. As Virginia Satir, the renowned family therapist that I mentioned earlier, we all hunger for wholeness. But where do we learn how to choose soul food? What are the behaviors, beliefs, and values that most easily help us fulfill our spiritual hunger? Where does soul food come from? When our essence, light, shines brightly, we then are fueled with positive life energy, and that will enable us to fulfill our inner longings. Some of these longings or yearnings are to feel accepted, safe, a sense of belonging, purpose, connection, validation. Does this kind of sound familiar? Yeah. Fulfilled yearnings are our soul food. They breathe life into our soul. This may sound a bit esoteric, and you might be thinking, oh boy, here we go, you know, one of those. But I'm going to share some personal examples to help you relate to what I'm describing, because I want you to be able to connect with it. So as a child, I deeply yearned to feel validated and accepted, and that I mattered. In my family, there was so much energy that was consumed around various struggles that I did not feel noticed or secure. So I became the placator in my family. How many of you know what placator means? Some all too well. Placator means I'll do anything for you. You come first. I'm nobody. If there's a problem, it's my fault. I've got to make this right. It's up to me. It's kind of like that. And I became that in our family. I wanted to please my mother at all costs, and I wanted to outperform my brothers so I could experience approval and validation for who I was, this bright, redheaded, chirpy little kid on the outside. I was the youngest of three children with two older brothers. My maiden name was Van Dyne, and I remember the teachers who would say, Ann Van Dyne, and I'd go, yeah, and they'd go, are you related to Peter Van Dyne? And I go, yeah. Are you related to Lee Van Dyne? Yeah. And then they looked a bit stricken, as if they were bracing for the worst. And you know, how did I handle that? I was one of the children that didn't dare have that kind of record. So I was a good girl. I got top grades. I agreed with everyone. I was dedicated to not rocking the boat. In other words, I was looking to other people to define my worth. If I got good grades, then I felt I was important. If I agreed with people all the time, then I felt accepted. It's kind of a counterfeit acceptance, though, because it's not really based on me accepting myself, my real self. So on the outside, I looked like I had it all together. But on the inside, I was scared, and I was lonely, very lonely and insecure. I yearned for acceptance, and so I could change my persona like a chameleon in order to fit in. I could adjust my external behavior to fit in with every person I met. I got really good at it. I could change colors, so to speak, on a dime. Inwardly, I was longing for the soul food of unconditional acceptance that could be there no matter how I looked, no matter how I appeared, or how I performed on a test. I was really desperately looking for validation. And I also longed to share the truth of what was going on with our family. But I didn't know who to share it with, and I thought if I did, that would reveal a crack in my bubbling personality. So I had to put all the energy into bubbling. I was looking outside for that validation. I didn't know you could experience it inside. More about that later. Another example are the vague memories I have of spending most of my life as a three-year-old hiding under the bed. I was very fearful. I was fearful of everything. Everything. Looking back, I can see that this was a time when my parents were splitting up, and also my mother had moved us to a new state and a new town. So it was Sarasota, Florida. I have no memory really of Sarasota, Florida, except that I was there. So this was a really scary time for a little three-year-old. What soul food was I longing for? I longed for safety. I longed for a sense of belonging. I'd lost that. And of course, I longed for more security. I was so scared of the unknown. I can still experience that fear today, but I've carved ways to meet those unmet yearnings through my own personal work as an adult. I no longer feel immobilized by fear. When you lift the veil of shame, then you can fulfill your unmet yearnings and therefore taste the soul food that you deserve. So those are just two examples of unmet yearnings and how they affect your sense of self, of who you are, the way you look at yourself and look at the world and relate to other people. We all yearn to feel that our yearnings are met. Does this sound familiar? How many of you have ever had experiences like that, of being lost in fear, not knowing who you are, afraid to show up, can't show any cracks, gotta be perfect? When I did my graduate training many years ago, I read a book called The Courage to Be Imperfect, and I love that. And I quote that all the time. Show the cracks, be real, take that step. The universal yearnings urge us to breathe the calm and peace of the soul. We thirst for peace, harmony, congruence, acceptance, purpose, freedom, and more. But so often we get tangled up in a web of expectations as we seek to experience our own worth. We hold these expectations of ourselves and of others, and we're thinking, well, what do they expect of us? And that can stop you in your tracks. Using my example again, I had impossible self-expectations. I expected I had to be perfect, never show a flaw or vulnerability, get everything right. And I wanted others to reward me for this behavior. I got very good at deciphering what others expected so I could surpass their expectations, be this wonder kid, which is quite a big burden to carry and impossible. I was under the delusion that if those expectations were met, then I would have inner peace. But of course, it didn't work. It's a very common myth. How often we've heard, if only he or she would treat me in a certain way, then I would know that I mattered. How many people have ever felt that? You know, if so-and-so would just, you know, do it right, then I would be okay. then I would know that I'm okay. But you know, that's another myth. You're putting your self-image into the hands of someone else. You've taken your own light, it's gone, and you just have moved yourself into the other person and given them the power over how you see yourself, which is a tragedy. You don't want to depend on others to define who you are, as if they are your soul food. As a counselor, I always ask my clients, if someone treated you this way, this magical way, what would it give you? If you think you need that person to know that you are lovable, then you let go of an unrealistic expectation, and you need to fulfill your own yearning to know that you are lovable. Count yourself in. When I say that to clients, count yourself in, it's a new concept to a lot of people because they just didn't realize that they are enough by whoever they are at this moment. How wonderful it is when people realize that beauty or intelligence or accomplishment is not supplied through external looks, grades, or work record. We know that knowing your worth is an inside-out experience, not outside-in. When you glow from within, you experience your own magnificence. And I use the word magnificence because one of my New Zealand students many years ago, she came up with that. And I thought, that's brilliant. We're all magnificent. And we deserve to feel it and live from that place. It's your birthright. When babies are born, every baby deserves to know his own magnificence. Don't you think? Yeah. We're all born unique and perfect for who we are in our magnificence. We don't have to look outward for that truth. So now we're getting closer to the real nuggets of how to provide our own soul food. This is the recipe. We can meet our own yearnings within ourselves for the real longing that lies beneath whatever we outwardly crave or incessantly search for. We can meet those yearnings ourselves. Once we identify the unmet yearning, we meet it directly. We can experience our worth because we deserve it without shame, embarrassment, guilt over not appearing a certain way, but pure, unconditional acceptance of who we are. And so I learned as an adult, I could provide my own safety, my own sense of belonging, my own connectedness with my own truth. I didn't have to prove my experience to anyone. I can honor who I am. I've learned to accept and actually enjoy my younger self, that vulnerable, scared, and kind of open, emotional younger self. I used to think, oh, that's terrible. You shouldn't be emotional. That's gone. Like, that is, if emotions are important, I'm in touch with them. If fear comes up, I can embrace it. I can listen to it. I can find out what is it trying to tell me. I can work with it. So I'm in charge. I'm letting my own light shine. My younger self knows I have her back. Now I'm going to give you two examples of how I have learned to supply my own soul food. The first one is my experience of 9/11. I was booked to see a client just as I got the news of the attacks. Our eldest son was in Washington, D.C. at the time, and my daughter-in-law was en route back to New York City. I didn't know where she was. I just know she could be right there. At first, I was paralyzed with fear, but then I made the fear work for me. And I realized the fear wasn't all of me. The fear was a messenger. This is big. This is important. You're resilient. You need to get your feet on the ground and get some information and start finding out what took place. So how could I do that if I was going to see a client? Now, my old self would have seen the client anyway. Put on a brave face. Be professional. Don't let your emotions take over. However, because I have done work within myself and know that the feelings are important, I greeted the client, told her I was in no emotional shape to see her, and because this was too directly related to me, what was happening with 9/11, she totally got it. It was never an issue. Another example is when I was diagnosed with breast cancer and knew I had to leave my practice for at least 2 months. And that my worst fear was that I'd lose all my clients. Like, what would they think if I told them the truth, because then they would know I was weak. Maybe they would think I caused the breast cancer. I actually had someone tell me that. Yeah, I'm still carrying that a bit. She started talking about healthy eating habits and, you know, okay. She needs to hear this. And in a small town like Chaminas, where we live, word spreads very fast, and lots of people would be finding out that I was ill. And that didn't line up with me wanting to appear like I had it all together. But the blessing was, this time, I could reassure my younger, fragile self that I am resilient. It was important to count myself in and share the straightforward truth with my clients, not in great detail, but that I had cancer and I needed treatment, and we would pick up their work in a few months. I didn't lose one client. It was fine, and the support was wonderful. Without needing a lot of details, everyone rallied around myself and Hugh. It was wonderful. So I'm sure you can think of many examples when you may have learned to keep some of your strong emotions locked up in a box and just carry it on as if everything is fine. I hope my sharing helps you realize the importance of acknowledging your yearning for connection, because if you lock them up in a box, you've isolated yourself. We all yearn for connection. We all yearn for loving support, especially during tough times. It's okay to be seen and heard from that place. What I discovered is that when I take charge of my inner world, then I'm supplying my own soul food. I fuel my own life energy, experience my authentic vitality, and I then can shine freely in this world. When we are in that place, then we can also truly honor where someone else is and love them for who they are. This last part, I hope, will also speak to you. Again, it's Virginia Satir. She coined a wonderful manifesto of soul food, but she didn't call it that. I'm calling it that. And she named it, I Am Me. And that's truly what it is, a recipe to fulfill our own yearnings through re-engineering, love those words, re-engineering whatever tangles there are within us that keep us trapped and hungering for inner peace. I'll close with this reading, and if you're interested in it, you can Google I Am Me and get it. A lot of people have just printed it and kind of almost have it on their forehead because it can be very helpful. I am me, my declaration of self-esteem and self-acceptance. In all the world, there is no one exactly like me. Everything that comes out of me is authentically mine because I choose it. I own everything about me. My body, my feelings, my mouth, my voice, all my actions, whether they be to others or to myself. I own my fantasies, my dreams, my hopes, my fears. I own all my triumphs and successes, and I also own all my failures and mistakes. Because I own all of me, then I can become intimately acquainted with me. And by so doing, I can love me and be friendly with me and all my parts. I know there are aspects about myself that puzzle me, and other aspects that I do not know. But as long as I am friendly and loving to myself, I can courageously and hopefully look for solutions to the puzzles and find ways to find out more about me. However I look, sound, whatever I say and do, and whatever I think and feel at a given moment in time is authentically me. If later some parts of how I looked or sounded or thought or felt turned out to be unfitting, I can discard that which is unfitting and keep the rest. And then I can invent something new for that which I discarded. I love that piece. You can let go. That gives you space to add in something new. I can see, hear, feel, think, say, and do. I do have the tools to survive, to be close to others, to be productive, to make sense and order out of the world of people and things outside of me. I own me, and therefore I can engineer me. Isn't that cool? I am me and I'm okay. I hope this reading has inspired you to realize the importance of your own essence, your own soul, and how much it yearns to know its worth, how its deepest wishes are truly whispers of your authentic self. You too can respect what your unmet yearnings are expressing and perhaps clear away some of those cobwebs which may cloud the truth of your own magnificence. Sometimes I call them beaver dams, you know, that are blocking our flow. Beaver dams, yeah. I hope it also inspires you to remember the profound impacts that we have on one another. We can meet each other through the eyes of unconditional love and acceptance. What a beautiful, beloved community that is. And I'm sure you experience that here. That's a spiritual connection. So let us remember, when our essence shines brightly, we are fueled with positive life energy that enables us to fulfill our inner yearnings. Those yearnings to feel safe and secure and a sense of belonging, purpose, and that's our soul food. Yearnings breathe life into the soul. And that is profound because soul food is the bread of life. Wishing us all peace within, peace between, and amongst us all. Blessed be.